Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel.
Well, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Yeah, and it's good to be back here. As many of you know, myself and a few others here who you're going to hear from today were away at our youth camp, Camp Orla Dor, and traveling all the way to Wisconsin and back, and you know, various different things. So we've been back for a few weeks here, but we haven't really gotten a chance to settle down and give you a sense and share with you about how camp went this summer. And usually what we like to do when we get back is to let you hear from some of the people who were involved, and just to keep us all in the loop. So we're going to be, I'm going to be inviting up a few people to share about their experiences at Camp Orla Dor. But just by way of introduction, for those of you who are new, we have a youth camp called Camp Orla Dor. Our tagline is "A Light to the Next Generation." It's a Messianic Jewish teen camp. Really, we reach Messianic Jewish youth and Jewish teens around the country. And so we have about, this year we had about 30 plus teens, I think, come out, and I think about 15 counselors and staff. So it's a pretty large group that came out. We met at the JCC Jewish Community Center's Camp Shy. They're sort of like the big JCC Chicago camp, which is actually in Wisconsin Dells, but they still call it Camp Shy for Chicago. And it's a huge Jewish camp. It takes about 10-15 minutes to walk from one side to the other. A wonderful location. I'll just say this year's camp, we always say this, like this year's camp was the best camp, you know, like, but on a number of key levels, specifically this year in terms of the transformation that we saw our campers go through from beginning to end, I think this year topped the other years in that regard. So we're going to be hearing from some others about that, but I wanted to tie this into our Parsha just a minute before we go into that. You know, we read Isaiah 54, one of my favorite Haftarot passages. We're in this time of consolation as we warm our hearts from the grieving of Tisha B'Av, the destruction of the temple, and as we move into Rosh Hashanah. And Isaiah 54 is all about restoring Israel back to a proper relationship with God. It's all about restoration. And in the beginning, it says, you know, "Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Cringe not, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will remember the reproach of your widowhood no more. For your Maker is your husband, or he will be close with you. Adonai Tzevaot is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, and he will be called God of all the earth." So it's this theme of restoration is part one. And then a second part of that is once you're there, once you're in that place of restoration, then he goes to the children. He goes to the next generation. And so we read toward the end here, we read, "All your children will be taught by the Lord. Your children will have great peace." And so the idea here is we go from restoration, but restoration includes the next generation. And then in our Besorah passage today from Yochanan, from John, you know, we read this beautiful passage where Yeshua shows up after the resurrection, and the disciples, they still don't really fully understand it. So they've already met him two other times, but he seems to kind of come and go, and they don't know what to do. So they go out and they go fishing. You know, that's like what they did before. What else are we going to do? And it's such a beautiful passage, you know, when they see, you know, this man their vision is disguised of some sort. They don't recognize who he was. Maybe he was a long distance away. But he says, "Hey, guys." And they say, "Hey." He's like, "Have you caught any fish?" And he says, like, "No, we haven't caught anything all night." He says, "Throw your net off to the side of the shore, off to the side of the boat." And so they do, and they, you know, catch 153 fish, you know. And of course, they know this is him because it's the same thing that happened when Yeshua came 3 years before to call Matthew. Of course, Peter jumps out of the boat and swims, leaving the others to kind of haul that load back in. But he's just so excited to see him. And I love this. He has breakfast. I mean, that's just the coolest thing. You know, it's like here he is with breakfast for them. You know, he's still taking care of them. He's still with them. He's still there. It's such a beautiful picture of restoration. And then we move into this moment where, you know, Peter has denied him three times in the previous chapters, and here we get to where Yeshua says, you know, Kepha, Peter, do you love me? You know, just, he says, yes, of course I love you. And he says, do you love me? Yes, I love you. You know, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And tend my sheep, take care of my people, go out into the world, spread the good news, rebuild the world, restoration, commission. And so what we have here is restoration involves the children, it involves all of us together, and then we come into this place of restoration and peace, and then we're commissioned to go out. The way I'm tying this all together, there's so many places we could go with it, but this is what Camp Roll the Door is all about. It's about restoration in our own small way, of course, but it's about restoration. It's about bringing pieces back together. It's about bringing Israel and Yeshua all back together as one in our children and in our teens and in each other. And then what we do is we go out and commission these young people to go out and do this to the rest of the world. And that's really what happened this summer at camp, really did. So I want to share more about specifics with you. Why don't we start with Sid and Diane? Would you guys come up? Is Sid here? He was here. Well, why don't you come up, Diane, and then when he comes up, we can join. And Sid and Diane are both part of the founding team of Camp Roll the Door 8 years ago or so, 9 years ago. And she's just quintessential to what we do here. And the way we think of it is that when Diane shows up at camp on site, everyone goes, ah. Ministering angels, you know.
Except for Diane.
Except for Diane.
Should I use this mic?
Yes, that'd be great.
All right. Well, just like about 5 minutes or so is good?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I just want to share a couple things, and I don't want to steal the thunder because maybe you'll come back to this. But, you know, my role at camp is just to do what needs to be done and kind of be in the background and be an extra set of hands. And primarily to interface usually with our Jewish host camp. So I think most of you know that we hold our camp, as you said, this year it was at Camp Shy, C-H-I, not S-H-Y. It's Shy, like Chicago. And so the host camp, you know, there's the dining hall and all the facilities. There's always point people that are there part of Shy. And then we come in. So I have just great opportunities usually to interface with that group. But before I talk about kind of a funny story that happened this year, I want to really just reinforce what Rabbi Nathan said about a transformative year. It really was. It was, in my observation coming every year, the absolute peak of transformations for teens. I learned so much more at the campfires and at the Friday night, the Erev Shabbat services. These kids, teens, because of the environment and all that's going on and the holiness of each day, the space that they're living in, away from their cell phones, away from their computers, and with each other, they get the support to be able to share publicly the challenges in their lives in the most profound ways. I didn't even have an appreciation until this year of all that these teens struggle with. It is overwhelming, just overwhelming, and that they can come to this safe place filled with God for 2 weeks. By that second Thursday, when Rabbi Nathan stood in the center of the healing prayer service and said, after healing prayer had gone on for a long time, and Nathan Morrell, I just have to say, I don't know how you play the piano for, I think it was like 2.5 hours. It was a long service, and it was so beautiful. The beauty of music in services should be that you're not really listening to it. It's just kind of like in the room, and we were all like praying for people, and you could just feel like it was like this heavenly presence of sound in the room, but it was so seamless that you didn't really notice it, you know, till afterwards. I'm thinking, how did he do that? You know, so thank you. We're so blessed to have you with us. But that night, the second Thursday, and everything had been building kind of to this time in the camp, you know, Rabbi Nathan said everything he says, which I can never say quite as well, but the last thing he said was, now, even if I'm standing here in this center all by myself, if any of you feel that you want to reaffirm, I hope this wasn't what you were going to share, reaffirm your commitment to Yeshua or maybe the first time or to, you know, to accept him for the first time or again or to re-cement the relationship or to just have him come into your life, even if I'm standing here by myself, it's okay. But It was amazing. It was like a flock of teens coming into the center to strengthen and embrace Yeshua in the, as the center of their lives, in the, recognizing the healing that they experiences from him. And then the group kind of came around, so I hope you have another story to share. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the other thing, that was just like, to me, that was the height of camp. That was it. It was, everything's wonderful, but it was like, it just was overwhelming. But a funny little story I'll just end with. Last year, when Sid and I arrived, we like stepped out of the RV, which is like so hokey, like the, you know, the Jews in the RV, what's with that, right? So we stepped down, and right there is the rabbi from the camp. He's coming out. And so Rabbi Nathan introduces us. And I think I told this story last year, so I don't want to go into all the details. There's a really great story there we'll talk about some other time. But this year, I was really looking forward to seeing Rabbi Daniel this year. I was so looking forward to it. And where we stay is at the Pearlstein Center, which is like across this little footbridge from the main campus. I was set. And this is why I love how, you know, you all think you know what God wants you to do, and you've got this figured out, and you're doing. No, you just sit back and, you know, it is not what you think. So it didn't work out. I never ran into Rabbi Daniel the whole time, ever, never once. And so I ran into one person over there. I think, was it Chuck? Thanks, Chuck. So Pearlstein Center is managed by this guy named Chuck, kind of separate from Camp Shy. So really what happened this year was not very holy, spiritual, and wonderful from my point of view. It was when the kids went off site to do their overnight camping trip, there were some misunderstandings of the people who were staying back at Pearlstein Center, what they could and couldn't do, what facilities were open, what cleaning services were available. My role, really, this year was to go talk to Chuck and get it all straightened out. So I straightened it out with Chuck, and I apologized, and I understood, and I listened to him a lot, and really the person I talked to this year was him, and it was on his stuff. Like, he was telling me how frustrating it is sometimes that they're not really part of Camp Shy, and people think they are, and, you know, it was one of those kind of mundane conversations, right? Fast forward a week later, it's Shabbat, and there's no Torah scroll on Shabbat. And we're ready to do our services. And so, you know, Rabbi Nathan and I are kind of scrambling around, and there's no Torah scroll. And you know, our leader, Kalea, had been told by Camp Shy, her contact, sorry, you're just not going to have a Torah scroll. We just couldn't work it out for you this time. So I'm like going, okay, you know, we heard that last Shabbat, actually. We're, you know, no, that's kind of not acceptable. So without diving into all the details, there was a lot that went down at that particular moment on that Shabbat morning. I said, look, I'm just going to, where do you get the Torah scroll? We get it from Pearlstein. I said, well, let me just go over there and get it. Like, what's the big deal? And so there's like, literally, people like hanging on the phone. Don't go over there. Whatever you do, don't go over there. I said, it's not a big deal. Let me just, look, the worst you can say is no. So honestly, it was, walked over there, crossed the little bridge. I didn't see Chuck ever in that whole two-week period. There he was, right at the counter, right behind him is the Torah scroll. I said, hey, Chuck, you know, there's been a misunderstanding. Do you mind if we borrow the Torah scroll? Sure, no problem. So took the Torah scroll, brought it back. It was like, that was the role this year. It wasn't about the rabbi. You know, it was about Chuck and the Torah scroll. So thank you, God, and we just love it. So.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Diane. Thank you. Yeah. And let me introduce and bring up Shayna, if you would share, because I think Sid's still out. And Rabbi Rich, you're going to be talking a little bit about this more, but we're launching a new season here at Rook, and Shayna is coming on Friday as our community Madrika and community coordinator, or Madrika and community coordinator, I guess is what I should say. So let's welcome Shayna formally in that role, and Rabbi Rich, you'll talk about it more later, but she was also a counselor at camp this year.
Hi, everyone. I'm going to share a few highlights from my experience and from my perspective, but I just want to give a little bit of a lens as far as where I was coming from. Rabbi Nathan recruited me to be a counselor this year, and I've never been to camp before, ever, as a camper, as a counselor, and I wasn't raised in a Messianic Jewish home. So to see young people engaging with Messianic Judaism the way that I did was just amazing. It was a lot of new thoughts, experiences, things that I wasn't sure about, but it was just so incredible to see these young people really passionate about God and passionate about their identity. So from there, I just want to talk about what I witnessed at one of the prayer services. I think this was the first week. So this was just like 3 days into camp. And we're having this pretty intense time of healing prayer, really just inviting the Ruach to come in and be in the space. And we were over an hour into the service at this point. It's after 9 o'clock at night. I'm silently just comforting one of the campers. And I look over and I see this 14-year-old camper laying his hand on his fellow camper, maybe like 16, 17, and just looking over at him. They're both crying, right? And this 14-year-old looks over at him and says, "God loves you, man." And they share this time of embrace. And they're crying, and they're praying for each other. And I'm like, where else in the world have I ever seen this before? I mean, we're talking about like teenage boys, right? And they're embracing each other and praying to the one true God of Israel and embracing their identity as Jewish people. It was just absolutely amazing. And I hope that I never forget that image in my mind because it was just really powerful. Some of the friendships that were formed were just really great too. I remember I had a camper who was pretty introverted, but by the end of camp, based on the community that was created in the course of 2 weeks, she was just alive. Like after 3 or 4 days and a little bit more, a little bit here and there, she would just open up a little bit here, open up a little bit there. And by the end of camp, she was smiling, laughing, you know, getting together with other girls on her own accord, holding Shoshana, I think, that Erev Shabbat evening. It was just incredible what can happen in a space where people feel safe and comfortable and the Ruach HaKodesh is there. It's really amazing. And I'm not going to touch too much on kind of the needs that some campers came in with, just really, really heavy things that these campers are dealing with that they once again felt free and open to share and receive some healing on. But I want to touch base on one more thing, you know, kind of going back to, I guess, the restoration theme that Rabbi Nathan was talking about. There was one camper, she was also one of my campers, who she wasn't raised in a Messianic Jewish home, but she is Jewish, was kind of raised more Christian. I think her dad, being Jewish, became a pastor or something along those lines. And so this was a whole new world to her. And she was totally embraced, not only just being like a wonderful human person, but being embraced in who she is. She was all in from beginning to end. She brought her viola. She was playing it with us. She was engaging in services. She was putting on a tallit, you know, for, I think, the first time at camp. And just to see her open up into this whole new world that's just awaiting her, right, which is this, you know, big Messianic Jewish community that we have. And, yeah, it was just really amazing to kind of see what was new for her becoming her own so quickly. And I just want to say one more thing. I just want to really commend Rabbi Nathan for being just amazing throughout the few weeks. Diane and Sid just being those voices that we needed to hear, those voices of wisdom throughout the entire time at camp. Kalea, the director, she did so much to make camp what it was. And Nathan Morrell, amazing. Okay, so he was like leading services, the first one to be on the drums, leading, you know, improv on, you know, a Thursday afternoon, being head male counselor. So we just had like an amazing staff. And I just wanted to really thank them for their time and all that they put into it, and really thank God for how he showed up. I really believe that some of these campers are going away with something new in them that's really life-giving. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to share. Thanks.
Thank you, Shana. Yeah. Thank you. Lovely. Yeah. Cool. And Nathan, if I could invite you to come up and join us. Again, it's a big weekend here. Nathan Morrell has just moved up to the Ruach House in Brighton, and we're going to be talking more about that this week and the following, so you'll get more of a sense about what the Ruach House is. But Nathan is joining us as our new rabbinical intern as of this weekend, so welcome him. And go ahead.
It's my first talk here. I'm a little nervous.
So Nathan, Rabbi Nathan, talked to you about the idea that in teenagers, Messianic Jewish teenagers, Camp Or Lador is instilling identity into them, like messianic Jewish identity. Because, as you heard from Shana, some of these campers, they come from totally different backgrounds. Some of them grew up Jewish, some of them kind of grew up Jewish, some of them have never said the Shema, and were practicing Chatzi Kaddish for the first time to actually say it by the end of the week. You know, so they're in totally different places. And what Camp Or Lador does, as what Rabbi Nathan said, was it takes these teenagers, brings them in a community, and lifts them up, and every day shows them what Messianic Jewish identity is, what Judaism and Yeshua looks like together. So how does that work in services? How does that work in Jewish values? How does that work in everyday living, right? And then, at least the hope is that they would then go out into the world and change the world around them. That because of the change and the restoration they have at camp, they can go out into other Messianic Jewish communities and change those communities as young adults. So I would like to share my experience and my story real quick about how that happened to me. So I grew up, I'm actually fourth generation Messianic Jew. My great-grandfather and grandmother were Jewish believers, Orthodox Jews from Russia. Well, long story short, you know, growing up Messianic, as a Messianic Jew, you take things for granted like anything else in any other community that you grow up in. You know, it's just natural. It's, you know, okay, I'm a Messianic Jew. You know, everyone believes in Jesus. Like, this is cool. Until my best friend, Harry Finkelstein, tells me, oh, you're one of those weird Jews, right? I'm like, what are you talking about? You know. And then I met Sid and Nathan at 2009 in Miami at the conference. And they said, oh, come to our camp. And I was like, okay, I'll do it next year because it's too late for school and, you know, this, that, the other. And then I went the next year. And for the first time, like, I had put on tefillin. For the first time, I had, like, seen a very, I don't know, Jewish environment. You know, it was the first time we prayed Shacharit every day. It was the first time that we really had Kabbalat Shabbat services. I mean, really had, and brought in, like, the spirit of Shabbat. Because, you know, when you're a teen, it's like Friday, oh, third Friday is going out to, like, all my friends are out at downtown Safety Harbor, and I want to go be with them. No one comes up to you and says, Shabbat's starting tonight, and this is important. And it's like, whoa, tell me more. Like, what's important? You know, no one tells you as a teen, like, you know, this is what being Jewish means. This is what being Jewish and believing in Mashiach means. So I kept on coming back to camp because of this, because, I was hooked. It was like the two best things in life, being Jewish and believing in Jesus or Yeshua, they had a baby, and that baby was at Camp Or Lador. And so I was hooked. So I came back every year, year after year, and, you know, one thing turns into a next when you're at a Messianic Jewish camp or at a Jew camp, right? So you're a teen, and then you're a leadership position, like a little, like a counselor in training. Now they're called leadership training. And then eventually you become a counselor because, you know, they realize you're semi-normal and can function and do all those things. No, but so I started to enter into leadership positions and started to really make it my own, make Messianic Judaism my own thing. I caught the vision and then started and said, this is a good idea. And so then in my own personal life, it reflected, and then at camp, it was reflected. So, like, but this wasn't just happening to me. This was happening to some of my other friends. And I'll give you the best example was a few months ago when we were sitting downstairs, there was a whole team of us that was planning camp, and everyone on that team had been at camp. They were previous campers. Except for Shana. She was the only one. That leaves us what? I mean, five, six people. Those were teens that started out like me, that was Messianic Jewish, kind of Messianic Jewish, kind of Jewish, kind of this, that, the other, spread out, and now we're unified with the vision, planning for other teenagers that same vision. Also, when we step forward, I think that that's the perfect example with what Rabbi Nathan was talking about, was that Camp Or Lador is successful at doing that, because I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be starting as a rabbinic intern if Camp Or Lador wasn't successful. So I wanted to share with you some joy and happiness and vision for the future for Camp Or Lador, and also what, well, we're starting with the new stages in the congregation. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Nathan. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Good. And let me tell you, it gives me such joy to see you up here, Nathan, for sure. Absolutely. But we'll get into that more later on. So to close here, I just want to share just a few memories and whatnot from my experiences there too. You know, like we said, there were all these different experiences. There was this one person that Shana was talking about, just watching someone who had never engaged a Jewish experience before, a Jewish girl, passionate about Yeshua, having no idea what to come into, just seeing her embrace and fall in love with the liturgy, for example, was a wonderful thing. And at the same time, our theme was hearing from God, hearing from Hashem was our theme. And she also felt that she heard from God for the first time in her life at camp. So you put those two things together. You know, that's amazing. There's another 14-year-old, actually he's 15 now, camper that wants to be a rabbi. Reminds me a lot of Nathan, actually, at camp. And after one of our healing services, we do like Shacharit in the morning, and then sometimes in the evening we do more of these like deeper times for people to really have an experience with God. He shared on that last Friday night when the teens get up and share, he shared a very detailed description of a vision that he had during that service. Every detail along the way, like serious vision with lessons and all kinds of things. This is a 15-year-old kid. You know, I mean, that's, to me, that's just amazing. Another young woman got up and shared about how she felt Yeshua speak to her during those times and hold her during times when she was remembering traumatic and hard experiences that she had gone through. You know, 16-year-old girl, her life has changed because of these experiences with Yeshua. There was some other young teenage boys, I'm trying to keep it all anonymous, but who were going through some really hard time and were able to grieve at camp for the first time and to feel that what they shared was that they now feel like they can go home and go through this because of what Yeshua has done for them at camp. I mean, that's big. Life-shaping, directional shaping kinds of things. I'm remembering one camper who, after we were doing, this was more of a private prayer session with a small group of us, but felt that he experienced Yeshua come inside for the first time. And this is a kid who's very quiet, reserved, and the smile on his face, I will never forget. You know, like big 15-year-old smile, like, and he's like, what just happened? He's like, this weight just lifted off to me. He's like, I feel like I could run a mile, you know? You know what I mean? Like, and the next day he was like, I'm a different person. Like, that's a life changed. Yeshua just touched a life. You know, that's amazing. These kids, it's just amazing. There was just the last thing here. One other camper who shared, he came as a leadership team this year, who shared that when he came when he was 15 years old, he was, you know, sort of lost, going through a hard time, considered himself an atheist. And here he was standing up, 18 years old, and he said that his experiences with God at camp saved him. What do you do with that? I mean, that's exciting, you know? That's cool. That was a phrase that we used at camp a lot. There was one time towards the end again when I asked the group, I said, how many of you feel like you've heard from God at camp? You know, you feel like you can say, I've heard from God at camp. 90% of the group raised their hand. And then I said, how many of you from that group feel like it was for the first time? Half of that group raised their hand. I mean, that's an amazing. We did a forgiveness time, and I asked the same question again. How many of you feel like you were able to forgive? About maybe 60% of the group raised their hand and said they felt like they were able to forgive someone. Teenagers. You know, that's just really huge. And then, like Diane's story, it was another counselor told me later, because they were counting. There was every teen but five came into the middle of that circle to receive Yeshua or to recommit their life to Yeshua. you know, every team but five. That's about 25 teens, you know, like, and our counselors and everyone, and we all came alongside. I was just thrilled. And whenever I do those moments, like, I'm always like, I close my eyes and I'm like, okay, I'm fine if I'm the only one. You know, let's just do it. And then, you know, it's just an amazing thing. So anyway, to close, to get us to Oneg here, I think that at camp, what's going on is beyond ourselves. It's something very special. And what makes it the most special is that there, Judaism and Jewish living and Yeshua are seamless. There isn't these two separate categories where there's like the Yeshua or the Christian side and the Jewish side. For these kids, they go together. They're davening Shacharit and they're hearing from Yeshua all at the same time. There's no separation. And it's creating a whole new Messianic Judaism for tomorrow. And I think we're witnessing this. And it's because of, you know, our young leaders here. It's because of Sid and Diane. It's because of all of your support and your prayers. And Rabbi Rich and Sue and all of our, the rest of our leadership team. So, yeah. So I just want to say thank you. Also, a big thank you to Nathan Morrell's parents, Stephen and Mary Esther. Would you guys just wave? We're here to see him off today. A big thank you to you guys as well. So with that, I just want this to be an encouragement. Go forward. Things are happening and things are good. And Yeshua is wonderful. So Shabbat Shalom.
Our God, may the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord, our God, may the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. In the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel. In the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel. And may your descendants and the descendants of your people Israel be those. Know your name and study your Torah for Messiah.